715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome. It is Feedback, 7 minutes after 8 in the AM. And I thought we would talk about some unlikely combinations, people that are getting together and forming alliances to fight a common problem that you might not think about. Tom brought the first one to my attention, talking about, who was it you said that was coming together?
It's the ACLU and the NRA are combining on a lawsuit against the NSA for their wiretapping and...
ACLU and the NRA teaming up, being the tag team champion, going after the NSA. That is... All right, first of all, do you have the article that says what the suit is about and
the
why they're bringing about it?
The suit's about the situation with the spying on Americans, and the NRA's contention is that this would be a backdoor way to start a gun registry if they could if they could keep track of everybody in the country who has guns. And I think the ACLU is just against the spying just on principle, that they don't like the government listening to us and keeping track of what we're doing.
Now, there's a whole bunch of things that pop into my head. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to go after the NRA and say, oh, come on, now you're just grasping at straws. You're saying that the domestic spying program that the NSA has done could lead to unknowing gun registration, meaning the government could keep tabs on how many guns we have and so forth without our knowledge. I understand the logic, saying that it might be going a little, you know, too far with that assumption, but it's not unheard of. It is absolutely not unheard of. If you have a government agency that, for the most part, is ignoring the Constitution and spying on Americans, keeping track of the phone calls and this, that, and the other thing, it's not outrageous to think that they would also want to keep track of who owns what guns. The first thing I could think of as a justification would be simply this: well, we're not keeping track of Americans for their normal gun use, but don't you think we should keep a track of those that have large stockpiles of weapons and ammunition? Perhaps those individuals are sleeper cells. Don't you think we should keep an eye on them? That seems very illogical at this point. I can actually hear that argument being presented before Congress as a justification for keeping track of gun ownership. Can't you?
Well, certainly.
Yeah, I mean,
in our society, looking for terrorists under every mattress.
I completely disagree with it. I believe it is a violation of our constitutional rights, but I can actually hear the justification, that argument being used to justify, again, more domestic spying. So that we've got that unlikely pairing. And then John Kerry came out and said that as far as the potential conflict going up against Syria, that it's entirely possible that the Saudis will finance it for us.
Well, sure, the Saudis don't like the Syrians.
Yeah, I know. I know, but what are we running a special now? We're going to have international television?
Well, you keep complaining, and those on your side keep complaining that we don't have the money to go into some military adventure in this point in time, that our budget is broke, and we don't have the money to spend.
The military budget is being gutted because of the sequestration.
Right.
We're getting a lot of information. Oh, the sequestration didn't hurt anything. It's made the economy better. It's all growing. Talk to those at the Pentagon. They are pulling what's left of their hair out, trying to figure out how to run the military and protect the United States and give the country what it needs militarily on the budget that it's being given. I know for a fact that the military told the government, hey, in order for us to do everything you want us to do, here's the bill. And it far exceeds the budget that they are being given.
Well, the Secretary of Defense testified before Congress yesterday that the military is in the position to carry out whatever orders are given by the Commander-in-Chief as far as the Syrian situation goes. They will be able to do whatever they are asked to do. So.
Because right now, we're not talking about putting boots on the ground. The estimate that came out in the news today, 75,000 troops would be necessary on the ground in Syria in order to secure the chemical weapons facilities and stockpiles. Well, we're not putting boots on the ground yet.
No.
We're not putting boots on the ground.
Well, yeah, as John McCain suggested, that we should not make the determination that there will ever, never be no boots on the ground. But I just cannot see where the American people, and Congress are going to give the authorization for boots on the ground.
No.
It's going to have to be the UN. It's going to have to be NATO. It's going to have to be the Arab League. It's going to have to be some other entity that leads if there is going to be an invasion or some sort of military takeover of the Syrian government.
Well, and giving McCain the benefit of the doubt, one of the reasons that he is saying we should not put restrictions of any kind on what kind of action we're going to take is if you're going to get into a fight, and the other guy has got brass knuckles and a knife and a lead pipe, you don't come in with boxing gloves and say, okay, we're gonna fight by the Queen's rules. You know, you got to.
Well, he is consistently banging the drum here, saying the only way Bashar Assad is going to come to the negotiating table and negotiate his leaving of the country is if his military is turned back. He has no compulsion to come to the negotiating table now because he's winning. His army needs to be degraded to the point where he's not winning anymore, and then he may try to sue for some sort of settlement to leave the country.
Sue.
The problem is...
I'm an evil dictator, and I'm going to bring a lawsuit against
him. Well, that's not the way I meant the word, but the situation at this point, if in fact it is proven that the Assad regime used chemical weapons against his own people... he's going to be wanted for war crimes at some point by The Hague, right? So well, if he leaves to go into exile somewhere...
they'll find him.
They'll find him and bring him to The Hague and put him in the dock.
So how about my solution?
Blow him up.
Yeah, we kill him. And sir, I'm not being facetious. What about my solution?
I'm sure that if we send some cruise missiles in to Syria during this attack and they just happen to take out Assad, nobody in Washington is going to be crying too much.
I know. Nobody's head's going to be on a plier saying, you what?
Yeah.
But why should we make it look like an accident? Why shouldn't it be, yes, we launched a cruise missile from the aircraft carrier from a submarine 50 miles away and we put it through the front door of his house and blew him and his family and all of his supporters into little tiny bits.
Because there are rules of war against targeting the head of a sovereign nation. And even though we are not technically at war with Syria, there are rules against that that we have signed on to over the years.
What sense does it make in today's environment and today's technology to put boots on the ground and fight in standard strategic combat when this situation, my opinion...
I'm not suggesting putting boots on the ground. I don't know many people are.
But what sense does it make in a conflict when this circumstance could be very easily resolved by blowing him to tiny bits?
Because countries of the West do not target heads of foreign governments, of sovereign nations. The Iranians. Remember when the Iranians were going to send, or the Iraqis? The Iraqis were going to send death squads, or the Iranians were going to send death squads in to try to take out the first President Bush? We didn't like that too much, did we?
Right. And our response was, go ahead, try. See what happens.
We don't want
you.
People to try Do to assassinate
remember,
the president.
Don't you remember?
We don't want people to send death squads, countries to send death squads to the United
don't
States.
Don't you remember Schwarzenegger? Schwarzenegger stood in his tank and said, bring it. That was, he literally said that. He just said, bring it.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you have
what movie was that from?
No, it's from the war. Did you read his autobiography?
Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not Schwarzenegger. Schwarzkopf.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay.
Schwarzkopf.
So what movie is he talking about here?
Yeah, thank you very, very much. The coffee is worn off at this point. Schwarzkopf.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
General Schwarzkopf.
Norman
okay.
Schwarzkopf.
Yeah, all right.
He literally said to the Iraqi Supreme Guard or whatever it was, bring it. You guys have got what it takes? Bring it. Let's see what happens.
I think there are treaties and there are rules against targeting the head of a foreign government.
We used
think
to.
It came, well, yeah, we used to.
Okay.
We tried Castro. We tried other places. It
just
didn't,
just because we couldn't get the bearded wonder doesn't mean we shouldn't have an allowance of sending in.
So you're okay with CIA plots to poison the mullahs in Iran and the...
Sure.
You're okay with that?
Absolutely. Why not? I'm just saying, why not? I mean, listen, it comes down to economy, and it comes down to there are times when a sending in boots on the ground and the Marines to go in and kill people and break things, that is the right way to go. It makes a very clear statement. There are other times when you send in the 5 or 6 man team that is very quiet, very deadly, and very effective. They go in, they do the job, they get the heck out, and they're done. I don't understand when we are going to fight a war why we have to, again, like I said, put on the kid gloves and say, oh, we're going to fight, we're going to be gentlemen about this. No, we are not fighting individuals who understand honor. We are not fighting anymore individuals who would honor a treaty. They're not. They will lie to our face and say, oh, you betcha. You got it. We're wrong. We did the weapons. We've destroyed all the weapons.
We don't want to be like them. We don't want to.
No, and you know how we don't be like them? We kill them. We destroy them. When they want to take action against us, we wipe them off the face of the earth. Problem solved. That's it. That's easy. Bada boom, bada bing.
It's not easy.
When I become president, I'm telling you right now, Ted Nugent will be my Secretary of Defense.
Oh, good God.
This world will be the safest it has ever been. And food will be aplenty. All right, 715-845-2155.
Somebody help me. Please call us. Please.
Give us a call. Tell us what you think. More interesting news about what's going on in the world when we come back.
Feedback at 8, The Jerry Vader Show at 9 on WSAU.
I would ask for some help. I could give him some help. It'd be a one-way ticket, but that's not the reason I called.
I was asking for help as to Seth's suggestion of making Ted Nugent the Secretary of Defense of the United States of America.
I understand. I heard you.
Would you sign on to that? Would you sign on to a MELA administration?
He'd be fine. The real reason I called.
He'd be fine.
Going back to your previous topic of Syria.
Yes, sir.
I think not just you, but I think, And I'm talking to you, Seth. I think the media is spending way too much time chasing their tail. There were two senators at the time that Obama started this Syria talk. Mm-hmm. There were two senators, one from Texas and one from Utah, I believe, that were pushing for defunding Obamacare. And that was a hot topic. It was picking up steam. And then all of a sudden, the topic has changed 180 degrees. And that's all we've been talking about is Syria. The funding for Obamacare is coming up here with the resolution, and I think that this was nothing more than Obama's way to change the subject, wait till the end of this month, which I think is when the continuing resolution is going to be brought up. Maybe it's the end of October, but I think it is the end of September.
On the budget?
And, correct.
Yeah.
And I think this is nothing but smoke and mirrors. And everybody, not everybody, but too many people are being swindled, thinking that this is actually what the hot topic is, Syria. Obama gave himself some room the other day when he said it can be a day, it could be a week, it could be a month. I think after this continuing resolution is resolved or whatever happens there, I think that's going to be an investigation maybe, and we don't really know if we want to go after the regime there in Syria, and it's going to just be left to go away again because Obama does not want to start any kind of a conflict. Maybe he'll lob a couple of missiles, but it's just buying time is what it is, and I think it's fictitious. I really do.
All right. Well, thanks, Dwayne. I appreciate you calling in. I'm not sure that I'm going to go along that the Syrian issue is created in order to be a diversion from what's happening with the Obamacare issue, but I will agree that it's going to be taken advantage of to be a diversion. I mean, Rahm Emanuel himself said, don't let a crisis go unheeded. Don't let it go to waste. Use every bit of it. When we come back, there are some new developments about the rebels in Syria, the ones that are fighting against the Assad regime. You would think they're all a bunch of happy-go-lucky, squeaky-clean, wonderful individuals.
No one is saying that.
But they're not.
Not even the Democrats are saying that.
There's some very disturbing news coming out now about what the rebels do and to whom. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News Feedback. We'll be right back. 715-845-2155 if you want to be a part of the program.
I felt really compelled to call on my way into work.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
And what's wrong with that?
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.